Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
6:18, Tommy Tucker, WWO. Glad you're with us on this Victory Monday. Mid-80s for a high 40% chance for showers, and let's look ahead for some nicer weather. Thursday we should get some, highs of 75, but then we go back up to 80 and 85 for next weekend, Saturday and Sunday. Mike Dettelier joins us now, WWL NFL draft analyst and NFL expert. Hey, Mike.
Hey, Tommy.
How you?
I'm good, brother.
I don't even know if I should address this Teddy Bridgewater thing. Somebody texted in and said, Saints playing at a level D at A-plus off the charts. O is doing enough with the drag of a D quarterback. That's the rub, Tommy. 5-1 super. We should be off the charts with a capable NFL starting quarterback. Well, 5-1 is pretty much off the charts, isn't it, Mike?
For me, it is. Listen, it's all about winning. I don't care if you win 3-2, 7-6. Do they give you extra for style points?
Nope.
None. No, they don't give you no extra. Teddy is doing, you know, listen, you're going to ride the wave with Teddy. With that caller wouldn't have texted you that last week. Okay? He wouldn't have texted you that last week. So, you know, everybody takes their shots. And for some people, they're not going to get over the fact that Taysom Hill should be the starter. I'm just telling you, no matter where you go, and if you're doing a talk somewhere or wherever, someone's going to come up with Taysom Hill should be starting instead of Teddy. And I heard that last week after he played a really good game against the Bucks. Some people are just never going to get over that particular point.
I'm not going to say it. I'm sorry, Mike.
No, you know it. You know where it's headed.
I hope
in
not.
In that direction.
I hope
all
that's
the time in that spot. So, listen, enjoy the win. Why the complaint? You know, that tells me that's not a long-time Saints fan.
No, and
a long-time Saints fan would be breathing this in saying, my goodness, look how far we have come with this organization to see those type wins. And you're doing this without Drew. And it had to be done differently. We talk about this every Monday since Drew got hurt. It's just finding a new way to win. And their defense is playing great. Their special teams was outstanding. You did just enough on offense yesterday to win it. But you know what? On the column at the end of the year, it's a W. And that's all that really matters at this point. And you're a week closer to getting number 9 back in the lineup.
Let me read you one more text, and this is it, because, again, I hope, I don't think, what I think is at play here is at play. But somebody says, we don't know how good, Hill may be worse than Teddy, but we won't know until he starts. So what this caller or texter wants us to do is start Taysom Hill, and even if we lose the game, then we know, oh, well, at least, what sense does that make?
No, it makes none, because here's my deal. Sean Payton knows a heck of a lot more football than I do,
yep.
You do,
yep.
And the Texer does. If he thought Taysom Hill was the guy, wouldn't he be playing him?
Absolutely.
He's not.
I guarantee you that.
And so, you know what? That's a shot at Sean. Now, they'll say, oh, I didn't say anything about Sean. No, you did say it.
Yep.
And listen, one of the things that gets hidden in all this is how great of a coaching job Sean has done since Drew has went down. Not only, you know, the X and O part, the emotional part of getting, you know, your leader knocked out for a certain period of time, and he's done a fantastic job. He really does. That goes to show the brilliance of him. And that a few years back, there were a lot of bad calls, I think, personnel-wise, if it was draft, free agency. And then they had to do some adjusting here. And what he has been able to do, along with Mickey and other people involved with Arlen, is build a team that eventually he knows that Drew's not going to be here. And so you're putting the building blocks in place to win now, but also to win in the future when number nine's not going to be at the quarterback position and you'll have another starter. That guy's not in the on the roster today. That's going to be your eventual successor. He's not on the roster. We all get that. We all get that part about it. But you got to win with who you got today, and that's what you're playing with. And I think that's really the story behind the story of how they've been able to rebuild this team with their defense, their special teams, and offensive line play, which that wasn't the greatest yesterday. But I will say this, Jacksonville, man, they got some studs up front along that defensive line. They put a lot of pressure on the Saints and did a fairly good job stopping the run for the most part. Well, the Saints just averaged 4 yards a carry.
We got to take a break, Mike. Can we pick it up here? Because we got a lot of traffic issues with the building tragedy that happened.
I got you, brother.
Somebody texted in and said, suppose Teddy would have thrown for 400 yards and Saints lose, then what? By the way, last year, because they had the bye early, but after six games, the Saints were 5-1. I think everybody was euphoric. Now we're 5-1. And I don't sense the same euphoria. 624 traffic now, WWL. 628, Tommy Tucker, WWL. Running a little bit late, so we ask Mike a quick question and then take a break, and then he'll come back. Mike, here's the thing. With Teddy Bridgewater, you can text me whatever you want. I'm not reading it because I don't mean to take anybody. I don't mean anybody. How can I phrase this? I don't want to be mean, but your opinion is misinformed. It's misinformed, so we're just going to let it go at that. When it comes to Sean Payton, he always seems to have a game plan that features different people depending on what the strength of the opposing team is, right? Or weaknesses, I should say.
Yeah, I mean, it's part of any coach's game plan. You're trying to find the weakest link in the chain, and then you break that weakest link into 1,000 pieces. And so you go after it. And it wasn't a great day for Teddy, and he's the first one to admit it. He was off. And I could tell after the second pass. When he starts sailing those throws, he's off balance. He's got a little bit of jitters. He's starting to sail them, and then they'll go high. And then you know what happens? You overcompensate, and the ball starts to get low. Mm-hmm. So, but Sean does a great job, along with the staff, of figuring out which way to kind of break the chain. Years ago, he might not have been as patient in a game like that. And he might have said, you know what, let's keep throwing the football, keep throwing it. But he was patient with his running game. And I thought that was a little bit of a key, because you can get caught up, so to speak, in all of that. And that, man, listen, we need a touchdown. We need to score. But you got to have some balance, because that's when mistakes start. And we saw it with Minshew yesterday. They started to kind of hit the panic button somewhere, and then he starts sailing them. Him too. The ball's coming out of there every which way. Sean showed a lot of patience yesterday in a game that he could see very quickly was not going to be a high-scoring game. You rarely see that in the NFL today, that type of game when it's 13-6. But you know sometimes you got to do it a different way, and you got to play the way the game plays out. He was masterful at it yesterday.
Yep. We can take a break, come back with Mike. You got any comments or questions other than Teddy Bridgewater, you can text him to 870. If it makes you feel better, text him to 870-870. I'll read them here, but I'm not going to read them on the air because it makes no sense. 6:30 time now, WWL First News. For that, we go to Dave Cohen. 6:45, quarter till 7, Tommy Tucker celebrating the Saints being 5-1. And looking at, and look, you can't take anything for granted, right? But you got Chicago up next, who have lost their quarterback, starting quarterback, and they have Chase Daniel, no S at the end, please, playing quarterback for him. The Saints are going to travel to Chicago for that game. Weather should not be bad at all, and they're 3-2. Mike, what are the Bears looking like?
The Bears are a great defensive team. I mean, they can put a lot of pressure on you. And they play well on special teams. Offense is no great shake. Mm-hmm. Again, the quarterback position is a major one that they've misfired at. I think they know what they have at that spot. And Trubisky's been hurt, so Chase been given an opportunity. But if I play Chase Daniel, what I do, I play press coverage on him. I force him to throw the ball downfield. You're not going to dink and dunk me because that's what he wants to do. He wants to throw that little short stuff all the time. Man, I take that away from him. And if anybody knows Chase Daniel, it's the Saints.
Oh, yeah.
Since he was here all those years as Drew Brees' backup. So, again, it's going to be a game. I can't say it's similar, 13-6, but I think it would be a game in sort of the same realm of what you saw yesterday, that both teams are going to struggle on the offensive side of the football, and it's which team will make that critical mistake in the turnover part of the game that kind of sways it one way or another.
Well, one thing I don't know if people are really paying attention to or not, but the Saints took the ball over at 6:09 left on the clock, fourth quarter, and Jacksonville did not touch it after that.
Well, the thing about it is you could just hear the air coming out of them. Mm-hmm. You know, they had been on the field a long time, that defense. And then that's a bit of a wear-down approach. And listen, it's not a cool day in Jacksonville is all I know.
Oh, yeah.
And it does wear you down, and you're out on that field chasing. So, you know what, you take advantage of that situation, and they were able to seal the deal with it. But in Chicago, it will be a similar type game where none of the offenses is going to overwhelm you. It's going to be a turnover type game, play great defense, who makes a big play on special teams. And listen, we've normally not used to watching, but get used to it because that's how they have built this team. They've spent a lot of draft choices and a lot of free agent capital on the defensive side of the football. And that's where you can kind of catch your hanging fruit right now. They're doing it in that way.
Weather for Chicago Sunday as it stands now, rainy with highs of 65. Advantage anybody with that?
Well, they've played in more of that type of weather. But again, you can't control that part of it. You just got to go out and play. You got 3 hours to get the job done, and then you can get back on the plane and you dry and you're off. But come on, they played in that type of weather. You normally used to playing in the dome, so they get a slight advantage on that part. And that's a pretty rowdy crowd they got there in Chicago. I tell people that are going because I got neighbors of mine that are headed there for their first time to watch a game. Well, get ready because you're gonna hear it, partner. You're gonna get it.
Let me talk to you about the part of the game that to me was most impressive, and that was the pass pressure we're putting on opposing quarterbacks.
They did a good job, and one of the things they did yesterday was kind of teacup Gardner Minshew. And when you watched him, and we talked a little bit about this, he's got a tendency to want to bolt out of there to find a lane, almost like a horse. Like you kind of corner him a little bit, and all of a sudden he wants to bolt out of there. And you can make some plays that way. If you saw in the first half, what they did was kind of teacup him in. They were putting some pressure, but they were saying, you know what, you're going to beat us. I dare you. Go ahead and throw the ball. And he made a couple of nice throws, but then that didn't work anymore. And then they changed it up a little bit in the second half where they sort of went after him. And he was, again, he should be in the Navy because he was sailing them. He was sailing them, brother. You know, because listen, that affects you as a young quarterback when you see that pressure coming from different ways. And in the first half, they really weren't all outright getting after him with a blitz. What they were doing was saying, go ahead and make that throw. Go ahead and do it. And he was a little bit jittery in that pocket. So they did a nice job of mixing and matching. Dennis Allen does a really good job defensively coming up with that scheme because one of the things with Minshew, and he's done it in his past, if it's been at East Carolina or Washington State, he'll take off and run with it. And you see a lot of that in the NFL today. Guys just trying to make improvisational plays. So they did a nice job. But the key, too, was Fournette because he didn't go off on you running. You know, he had 20 carries yesterday for 72 yards. So, again, that streak continues that you haven't give up 100 yards rushing to an individual rusher. And I thought maybe yesterday you would get pushed to the brink on that because they don't get away from that, no matter what the score is. And you saw in the second half, no matter if they were down or not, they kept running the ball.
Let me take a break. When we come back, Mike, I want to talk to you quickly about Alvin Kamara. I know we're not going to find out anything on injuries about him, but Latavius Murray, I know he and his wife had the baby. Congratulations next week. What do you think that'll look like? 651 traffic now, WWL. 657, Tommy Tucker, WWL. Just a couple of minutes left with Mike Dettillier. Mike, I know Sean Payton is very, very secretive when it comes about injuries, and rightfully so. I would be the same as him. But I think it was apparent Alvin Kamara was not healthy yesterday. Would you agree?
There's no question. And then he might have suffered a little knee injury also. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, he had the ankle going in. And listen, it is everything sort of connected. And sometimes when you're trying to play with it, you know, you probably tweak something else. So we won't find out. But you know what? I like to see the fact that they got Latavius Murray more involved in this football game. He had 8 carries yesterday, and he caught 3 passes. And you know what? You're going to have to get him more involved. You can see that, you know, that Alvin's fighting an injury right now. Ankle, knee, you know, it doesn't seem to be major, but still, it affected the way he ran with the ball and his elusiveness. That's where you see it.
So when it comes to Latavius Murray, and let me say this without you getting all upset, I know next man up counts as long as the next guy is as good. However, when it comes to coaching, you got to coach around that. So I think Sean Payton's done a great job of coaching with the next man up. Would you agree?
Well, he plays to the talent that is available.
Yeah.
And that's what you got to do. You can next man up it, but you know, however you phrase it, you got to play to their strength. And Latavius, sort of, he likes to touch the football, you know, 5-6 times before he gets cranked up. He's one of those type runners. Mm-hmm. Right off the bat, you're not going to get that. He needs to warm the car up before it can get rolling. And so I think he's sort of a heavy-duty type of guy that he likes that part of the game the more he touches it. And he's a thunderback, but he's got some speed once he can get a couple steps on you. He's a different back, different than Alvin, different than Ingram. But you know what? He's been fairly effective, and you got to have to roll with him more.
Yep. Thank you, Mike. I appreciate your time. We will listen for you this afternoon. You and Bobby Hebert live from the Silver Slipper Casino on the beach in Hancock County, Mississippi. Don't forget the Rouse's Markets Coaches Show with Sean Payton tonight and assistant secondary coach Aaron Glenn.
Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time: baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in baseball isn't boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You'll be glad you did.